Welcome. The topic today is how public agencies can spur innovation to help those agencies tackle tough problems and find ways to better achieve their missions. We're joined by an expert on the topic whose experience spans the federal, state, and local levels, as well as the private sector. Brian Civic is the Chief Technology Officer at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, a role he's had since 2012. Under his leadership, HHS launched its Idea Lab in 2013, which has already catalyzed more than 100 innovation projects. Prior to his current role, he was the Chief Innovation Officer to Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, and before that was Chief Technology Officer for the District of Columbia. Brian, thanks for being with us. Welcome.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
So tell us how you describe the HHS Idea Lab for those who aren't familiar with it.
Sure. So essentially, the Idea Lab is designed to create a more modern and effective government. And the way that we do that, we typically talk about the Idea Lab having essentially three buckets of activities. It starts with this concept that I like to talk a lot about, which is that the key asset of any organization are the people that make it up. And if you believe that, then one of the things that you really need to think about is how you invest in those people, in that key asset. And so the first bucket is really what we consider to be our sort of investment pipeline. We have a set of initiatives that are designed to identify good ideas amongst the population of the 90,000 or so HHS employees and give them an opportunity to attempt to execute on those ideas. In one of our programs, it's called HHS Ignite. We give them 3 months, $5,000, but most importantly, some instruction in terms of methodologies about how they can go about executing on a project in a rapid and measurable fashion. So we teach them things like design thinking. We teach them lean startup ideas. We teach them how to rapidly iterate and measure those iterations, talk to people and figure out whether or not their ideas are working, and quickly pivot if they're not. The second program in that bucket is something we call HHS Ventures, which, as the name implies, is really a venture fund designed to invest in the most successful projects that are executed from across the department. So that's the first bucket. It's about giving people internally the opportunity to experiment. That's really what it's about.
Yeah,
the idea being that if we can give people the freedom to experiment, then this thing that we call innovation, whatever it happens to be, whether it's disruptive or continuous, will result from those activities.
So tell us about the second bucket. I know that if bucket one could say is focused on HHS's internal assets, bucket two focuses on leveraging external resources.
Yeah, so the second bucket, although the philosophy remains that the internal employees are really the key asset of this organization, we also recognize that we don't have all the answers. So the second bucket focuses on bringing external expertise into the organization through a couple of different programs that we call our in-residence programs. The first one, HHS Entrepreneurs, basically recruits people from the outside world for a period of no more than 12 months to come in to work on what we consider to be complex projects on typically a very operating division specific level. So that would be specific to, say, CMS or specific to the National Institutes of Health. The second program is a program we call our Innovator in Residence program. And that's a bit different in that it's a partnership with an external nonprofit who funds a fellow inside of HHS for a period of 2 years to work on a general topic. And it's up to that person, that we recruit to determine what the activities that he or she will pursue over that two-year period actually are. And it has to be something that's interesting both to HHS from a sort of global perspective, but also to that nonprofit. So that's another way that we're bringing the external expertise into the department.
So to take stock for our listeners, we are talking with Brian Civic about the three main components or buckets of the HHS Idea Lab. We've covered the first two, and Brian, tell us about the third.
The third bucket is what I would consider to be sort of cross-cutting departmental issues that we really are sort of the best placed entity to solve. So one example would be our health data initiative. Now, this is something that we kicked off 4 or so years ago, but we've really formalized it under the Idea Lab as one of these cross-cutting efforts. It's our effort to essentially find all of the data that exists across HHS and actually across the health and human services ecosystem and catalog that data, make it available, hopefully in formats that developers and researchers and others can use, and let them do their thing and see what they can do. The HHS Buyers Club, which is our effort to fix procurement across HHS, is another program that would fit under this bucket. And there are a few others that kind of fit in that category.
And Brian, to ground this discussion in some real life details, is there an example that comes to mind of an important innovation that came out of one of these buckets from the HHS Idea Lab?
Sure. One of my current favorites is a group from the Indian Health Service that is one of our current HHS Ignite team. So they're about 3/4 of the way through this round of Ignite. And the story's great. Basically,
Ignite is which bucket, by the way?
Sorry, Ignite is one of the, it's that incubator program where we give teams 3 months, $5,000, and the mentorship and the experience to learn how to sort of rapidly iterate on ideas, prove a point. So this team from the Indian Health Service saw that there was one statistic that really stuck out at them about the care that they provide through IHS, which is that the wait time in emergency departments for IHS facilities is 4 times the national average. And so they looked at this problem a little bit, and their proposal for the Ignite program was to develop a test around putting a fancy electronic kiosk in a emergency room and having people self-triage when they got into the waiting room and kind of figure out where to go. They came, participated in a boot camp that we have. It's a 3-day-long boot camp where they're introduced to the concepts of design thinking, rapid prototyping, iterative design, et cetera, and went back to the IHS facility and started to run some tests. And the first thing they discovered was that the kiosk idea that they had actually wasn't going to work because culturally the kiosk was not acceptable to the people that visited the ER. They weren't used to interacting with electronic device. They weren't comfortable inputting this information in there. And so they went back to the drawing board. And the first thing that they said, okay, well, what if we used just a paper form and had the receptionist at the emergency department triage the cases? Well, it turns out that that doesn't work either because these communities are very small and people felt uncomfortable telling a non-medical professional what their issues were, which makes a lot of sense. So now the sort of pivot that they've taken and the approach that they're testing is putting a medical professional, whether it's a nurse practitioner, a physician's assistant, what have you, in the middle of that emergency room and triaging people as they come in on a paper form. So very low tech, right? But very simple to implement and very simple to test, which really espouses all of the ideas that we're trying to do here. Now, imagine that this works, and all of a sudden they're able to reduce wait times from 4 times the national average to, say, the national average, or maybe even a little bit higher. This is an incredibly simple intervention that can be immediately scaled across the entire IHS ecosystem,
yeah,
which I find really interesting.
It's a great example. So in this example, it wasn't that they had one idea that was tested. They had a problem, and they had the freedom to experiment.
That's exactly right. That's exactly it. And not only did they have the freedom, but we were able to teach them some methodologies for how to experiment. Because a lot of times, especially in sort of government and many large organizations, people aren't exposed to methodologies for how to explore some of these concepts, mainly because that's not how the jobs work, right? They're basically, generally speaking, told to do something, and then there's a process for how that something gets done. And so they just follow the process, they do the thing, and that's that. What we're talking about here is discovering solutions to problems that are sort of outside the box, but giving people the tools they need to actually try to develop those solutions on their own.
Innovation comes about with not only flexibility to innovate, but the resources that you need, which sometimes we think of money first, funding as resources, but actually it can be training.
Yeah. So what's interesting about, I just use Ignite as the example. This is the second round of Ignite that we've done. The first round, we actually gave teams 6 months and $10,000. And we didn't have any sort of formal training at all. And it turned out that 6 months was too long. The teams only needed 3 months. $10,000 was way too much. They only needed $5,000 max. And in fact, in this round, it turns out that some of the teams haven't spent a dime on what they're doing. But the most important thing that we provided in round one was expertise and help around how to develop an idea, how to iterate on an idea, how to measure results quickly, how to pivot once you realize that something wasn't working. And that's what we really tried to build into the second round. And actually, one of the ways we did that was by developing a partnership with the Maryland University of Maryland School of Entrepreneurship. And they actually came in to teach a course for us. As part of this boot camp where they instructed the teams on some of these concepts around how to design and develop things rapidly.
So Brian, listeners to this blog may be thinking about how to adapt what HHS has done with the Idea Lab to their own agencies to develop an innovation lab there. So with that in mind, tell us about what resources you think were important in launching and running this initiative.
To be perfectly honest, we've spent very little on this. I mean, we have a tiny team. It sort of varies depending on the day because people kind of pop in and work with us on certain projects and then pop out. But, you know, I've got a full-time team of about 5 people. And we, across the board, either run or participate in probably 15 to 20 different initiatives. And so, you know, part of it is figuring out the right people to kind of bring in that that can accomplish some of these things. Part of it is letting them do their thing. I'm not a big fan of micromanagement. I'm much more of a fan of letting people be responsible for delivering on some of their initiatives and ideas and helping to guide them along the way. And I think that that allows us to deliver a whole lot more in a much shorter time frame. Having said that, I think in order to do this in any organization, you need commitment from the top. You need the, you know, sort of leaders of that organization, regardless of the size, to kind of continually commit to the importance of these activities. Otherwise, it's sort of just a box-checking exercise. And so we're lucky here in the fact that both secretaries, the new one and the old one, and the deputy secretary completely get this stuff, are totally behind it, push it at every opportunity, which gives us a lot of visibility and a lot of participation for that. And the recognition, I think, is one of the reasons why people actually participate in these things, right? They want to see their ideas develop. They want to be able to experiment with some of these concepts. But to get recognized by the leadership of the department is also a very compelling sort of thing.
A final question for you, Brian. You've been helping to build an organizational culture of innovation in many different organizations in your career. Do you have any pieces of advice for our listeners about strengthening a culture of innovation and experimentation and learning?
Yeah, I think one thing that people have to realize is that regardless of the size of the organization, it's not something that happens overnight. I mean, culture change to the status quo, these are all incredibly difficult and lengthy efforts, right? The strategy that I've sort of subconsciously followed for a while and now very consciously follow is to really target the group that I consider to be the quote-unquote early adopters, right? These are the people that sort of fundamentally get it from all levels in an organization, whether it's the top to, you know, the most new junior employee. Because there are always going to be people on the far end of the adoption curve, right? The laggards who are going to take a while to embrace change, to appreciate that there might be a different or better way of doing something. And that's fine. You can't change human nature, especially quickly. So what I found is that if you target the early adopters and really focus on, especially early on, focus on their problems, their issues, helping them be successful, what that success does is translate into interest farther down the adoption curve. And so suddenly you'll start to get people approaching you who might be, you know, sort of the early follower bucket, right? Who say, you know, I saw what you did there. That was really interesting. I've got this idea. How can I do that? And then eventually you sort of keep progressing your way down that curve. Now, here at HHS, we're still real early in the process. We've definitely focused on the early adopters to a certain extent, gotten some great successes there. And we're actually starting to see this migration back down the adoption curve now. I've been presenting what we do at nearly every operating division. And the response I get is actually very interesting because it changes depending on the people in the room. And you can actually tell when you're talking who the folks are that are in that part of the adoption curve and who aren't, just by who's nodding their heads and you know, who's taking notes and who's asking questions. And it's been really interesting to help us figure out who to pick out from this crowd in terms of developing a community. And so it's been fascinating, but that's generally speaking the strategy that I would take.
Brian Civic, Chief Technology Officer at HHS. Brian, congratulations to you and your team for all the progress you've made, and thanks for sharing very useful insights with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.